Most people know of Eleanor Roosevelt from her years as one of America's most active and involved First Ladies. The first volume of a new biography of Roosevelt by historian and journalist Blanche Wiesen Cook explores some of the events of her early life. Critic Maureen Corrigan has this review.
During the autumn of 1918, Eleanor Roosevelt would drive almost daily out to Washington's Rock Creek Cemetery. There she'd sit for hours in a holly grove looking at a hooded statue of a woman, a statue called Grief. The statue had been commissioned by the historian and writer Henry Adams in memory of his wife. Clover Adams had committed suicide by drinking photographic acid, evidently when she learned of Henry's affair with another woman. At the time of these graveyard visits, Eleanor Roosevelt was 34. She had five children and was married, of course, to FDR, who was then Assistant Secretary of the Navy. And she had just found out about Franklin's affair with Lucy Mercer. Whatever thoughts ran through Eleanor Roosevelt's mind as she stared at that statue remain a mystery. She never wrote about her private emotions for public consumption. All we do know is that these months of contemplation were crucial to Eleanor Roosevelt's emergence as the greatest American woman leader of the 20th century. For shortly after, she reclaimed the talents that had moldered during the early years of her marriage. She began writing, teaching, and working for reform movements, like the 48-hour workweek for women. Eleanor also began to generate what would become a vast FBI file. J. Edgar Hoover kept close tabs on her starting in 1924, when she supported that un-American body, the League of Nations. And somehow, Eleanor and Franklin hammered out a different kind of marriage. There were no more secrets. FDR had other intimate relationships, and so did Eleanor. The first volume of Blanche Wiesen Cook's biography of Eleanor Roosevelt is, to use a quaint word we haven't heard much lately, inspirational. Those cemetery months were pivotal, but Eleanor Roosevelt kept transforming herself throughout her life. She was raised in an alcoholic, aristocratic family straight out of the novels of Edith Wharton. She attended a progressive all-women's school where she discovered a love of learning and a gift for leadership. And decades later, she also found the courage to passionately love another woman, journalist Lorena Hickok. It makes perfect sense when Cook tells us that it was Eleanor who indirectly fed FDR that famous line, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." Cook's biography doesn't turn Eleanor Roosevelt into a saint, but it does rescue her from the self-deprecating image she herself created. Cook also pieces together the fullest picture to date of Eleanor's relationship with Hickok, as well as her intimate friendships with bodyguard Earl Miller and activist Nancy Cook. Their letters to and from Eleanor have disappeared, and biographer Cook thinks this strange silence speaks volumes about the close nature of their relationships. Some people have criticized this biography for making Eleanor Roosevelt into a feminist. But Eleanor herself used the word feminist, and from 1921 on, she was centrally engaged in women's political movements. What else would you call her? Volume 1 ends in 1933. Cook quotes Eleanor as saying that she was sincerely glad that FDR had been elected president. But she goes on to say, "Now I shall start to work out my own salvation as First Lady. I can hardly wait for Volume 2 to learn how she managed that."
Maureen Corrigan teaches at Georgetown University.